Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
And we are so happy to have Jason with us, Jason Chua. Good morning, Jason. How you doing?
Hey, morning. Nice haircut.
See, thank you. That's what I'm saying.
We're not going to give you any more publicity than you're already going to get.
Well, I think I'm due a little bit more, aren't you? Anyway, hey, Jason, this is really an interesting story because you weren't always doing this, and you decided to kind of shift out and do the hawker. You were advised by your parents to start a small stall in case things didn't work out. Tell us the story of how you got into doing your stall, Beng Who Cooks.
Basically, I don't think I like cooking. I don't think I like cooking for a start. Maybe it's an ego thing. Wait a minute.
You don't like cooking and you started a hawker stall. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Because I'm just doing it because, like, okay, I want to be a self-employed.
Okay.
Yeah. Because when you want to be self-employed, you'll do everything because I know I have a weird tempo. I don't work well with people. Then I need to be a self-employed no matter what. So I chose cooking because initially I was doing sports, boxing.
So, yeah, Jason, let me just clarify this, Jason. You like boxing because there may be some aggression, temper issues by your own acknowledgement. You want to be self-employed and you work in the highest, most pressurized job dealing with front-facing public customers, long queues all day long. Is that correct?
And long hours.
Yes.
Okay.
And welcome to the hawker center as well because you can, in hawker, you can afford to score people, but not in the restaurant.
I love this guy. You became a hawker because you could scold people. That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the angry hawker on this morning, Jason Chua. Okay, Jason, so but tell us about your stall. What are you doing? And if you can hold your camera up, can you hold your camera up a bit and shift around so we can see what your stall looks like?
Oh, no, I'm in a restaurant already. I just shifted to a restaurant.
So now you can't scold people anymore.
So now you can't scold anybody for a while.
Yeah, things have changed. The most I would just, like, don't talk to me. Talk to the server.
Okay, so we've got Beng Who Cooks. So just give us a bit of background. How did it get going? How did it get started? You know, how and so on. And also remember, we are a family show, so do bear in mind language.
All right. Basically, when I started cooking, it's more of cooking for survival because both my parents are self-employed.
Right.
Yeah, they are self-employed. And then I was mostly cooking for survival because everything is in the fridge, the leftover food and everything. Then I get bored very easily. Yeah, so whatever I find in the fridge, I would just throw inside the stove, throw inside the oven, the water, and then I would just cook it. Then slowly, like, okay, hey, my mom, this is the first time my mom ever praises me. Like, oh, I did something good.
Wow.
I didn't mess things up. Yeah, everything is good. So cooking has always been a part of survival just for me.
So you started cooking, and did you find that, you know, you was a natural cook? Did it take lots of practice? Was it something that came very easily? I mean, it's not and as you mentioned, hawker stall customers are very fussy. So if you don't get it right, they will scold you and they won't come back. So how was your cooking journey? I mean, did it come naturally or was it a lot of hard work?
If I say it's come naturally, it's lying. But obviously, everything comes with a lot of hard work. It's really a lot of hard work. Yeah, it's like, you take a lot of critique because, you know, supply and demand. Sometimes you supply this, not everybody will take it. So you can't satisfy everyone. You gotta make sure that your direction is one direction. You don't listen to some comments that really shift your boat and everything. You just have to follow your own direction no matter how bad the critique is because you know your motto, you know your direction, you know your principle. Just follow that straight line.
Right. And so your recipes, where did you get them from? Are there family recipes handed down or did you look them up online? I mean, how did that come about and what are your specialities?
Cuisine-wise, I would say I'm an innovative cuisine. Specialty, we don't have a specialty, no specialty, no nothing. We just cook more on, it's a journey for my food, right? It's more of a journey. Because I'm not very good at speaking to everyone because I offend people when I talk.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, I really communicate through my work, my cook, my food. So it's sort of like a journey. When sometimes if I serve you a mushroom, right, I can call it ba zhang. You know, ba zhang is like a rice dumpling. I can call it ba zhang because it's like a memory that every morning I go to the hawker center, I met this store beside me. He was selling ba zhang, but the first thing he cooked, right, is always shiitake mushroom, and the smell is so strong. So when I cook this mushroom dish, right, I call it ba zhang.
Okay. Now, before Jason, we're talking to Jason Chua, and he has a partner, Hung Jen Long, who are the owners of Beng Who Cooks. Now, before you were doing Singapore-style poke bowls at the Hong Lim Food Center. Is that correct? And now you switched over to your new creative style. Is that right?
Right.
In Neil Road.
Neil Road.
Okay.
Yep.
And you're also offering meals to kids who've been unable to have proper meals due to school courses. Tell us about that. This sounds kind of like an interesting charity element to what you're doing as well.
Basically, during circuit break, right? Because my direction is always I advocate for kids a lot. Because I think I love kids. I think kids are very innocent, like a piece of paper, regardless how naughty they are. Yeah. And so my direction is for the foundation is really more of, just like I said, for survival, to make sure my neighboring stores, those old uncle, auntie, they survive the circuit break. Then I will spend money to buy some coffee and drinks, also to deliver my own food with the drinks and everything. So at least, yeah. I know it's only a few cents, but at least it helps.
Yeah.
And also,
for the kids, yeah.
I just wanted to add, wonderful trust shown by yourself and your partner, because if I understand correctly, during Circuit Breaker, you didn't ask for any proof that these guys couldn't afford their meals. If someone came up to you and asked for a free meal, you just gave it to them without any form of ID or proof or anything. Is that correct? And if so, how did it work? I mean, did people abuse it, or did you mostly find that there was trust on both sides?
Yes, we don't ask anything. As long as you're there to ask, we were there to give. And we'll deliver right to your doorsteps. And in a way, it's like, initially, yeah, I mean, obviously, you would think that people abuse you and everything. But sometimes, if you think it deeper into you put yourself in their shoe, right? Sometimes it's because, okay, I've been spending so much before. Okay, I've been earning so much money, then I spend this amount. Then suddenly, circuit break came in. Then I don't have the income and everything. My lifestyle has changed everything. People are just desperately calling for help. Yeah, it's just that they are so egoistic that they don't dare to speak it up. They were just asking that, oh, can you deliver food to me? I want food. They were rude to you, but end of the day, they just want help.
Neil, I'm guessing that if you walked up to Jason or his partner, Jen Long, you would probably be honest, right? Because you're not going to lie to those two guys.
No.
Because he's going to take you down if you're misrepresenting your
need. But you'd get a free meal
food.
with that hair because you look like an Al Bing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd fit right in.
Absolutely. Now, Jason, you were recognized by President Halima Yacob last month as in this category, People of Good. You got to go to Astana, right? What was that like?
I mean, the experience of Astana experience is better than meeting the president, because Astana is so good. Even when you're going through a bus, right, you are going through three checks.
Yeah. It's a long drive.
The toilet is amazing.
A long drive up that driveway too, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Even a toilet is bigger than my shop now.
So
just the toilet. Wow.
So did President Halima ask you to cook for her while you were there? Use the kitchen at Astana?
No. They didn't let us go walk around too much. We were forbidden to a lot of places. Even photos have to be 1 meter apart.
But it is wonderful. We should point out for our listeners and viewers that you earned a special commendation for the President's Volunteerism and Philanthropy Awards 2020 Special Edition, Our Finest Hour in the City of Good. So we must congratulate you for that. That is one remarkable achievement. What I wanted to ask you is, you operate as a bistro. I've looked at your menus. You have very different menus.
Oh, yes.
You operate as a bistro in the day, and then you turn into a restaurant at night. Are you and your co-founder doing the cooking yourselves? You're working all the way through?
My co-founder, Chen Long, will be handling the front of house while I'll be at the back of house. Because we feel that a lot of restaurants, a lot of bosses, not all, but they are always like just throwing in the money, and then they are nowhere to be seen.
Mm.
And when the bosses are not around, employees sort of abuse the system. They sort of, the bosses not around, let's raise this, let's not serve this customer. And when we are here, right, we will always ensure that the quality of the food, the quality of the service is still at our hawker level. We want to be down to earth. We want to like sort of never ever go out of board, because you know this is a huge jump from hawker to restaurant. Then we want to keep ourselves grounded. Like no matter who we are, where we are now, right, we'll always stay at this basic true blue Singaporean. Like, oh, we are still fun guys. We are still playful boys.
Now, about 14 years ago, I worked in a shop house right next door to where you are in Neil Road.
Ooh.
And upstairs. And that neighborhood in Tanjung Pagar is so vibrant, right? And it was back then, and it certainly is now. And it's even changed now. It used to be a lot of wedding studios and different things, but now it's really become a nightlife and restaurant area. Do you find that your customers are mostly business people that are coming in? Or we think of a hawker stall, usually we think of kind of, you know, got a regular office workers coming in. What's your client? What are your clients like?
Maybe it's too early to tell now, but currently my regular clients are, okay, for the lunch is really office crowd, and the weekend is really family. But for dinner, it's more of couples, because we know dinner, couple, they like those romantic feeling, simple ambient and all, yeah. So we are really serving two a huge spectrum of a big difference of crop. No,
Jason, you know what I like about you is, and I've had this conversation with the KFC Toe, you know, the Makan Sutra guy. And this idea that everyone thinks it's so easy to set up an F&B business in Singapore. We'll just invest. Heaven knows, we know these trust fund babies. They get some money from daddy. I'm just going to say it. They throw it into a restaurant and they think it'll just take care of itself. And they're the first people to complain during circuit breaker about this issues and manpower issues and lack of customers. And Sito always says to me, if you want to be a hawker, if you want to be a cook, you've got to cook, you've got to work, you've got to put the hours in. It doesn't happen by itself. And that seems to be the message that you're sending out today, right? That you've got to work hard in your business. Would that be fair?
Exactly. You got to really, being a boss is not about just throwing in money. It's really about putting in all the hard work. If you need to work harder than your staff, you need to work harder than your employee. Because if you don't lead by example, nobody will follow you.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Jason, thank you so much for being with us today. And we're sorry your partner, Hung Jianlong, couldn't be with us, but please give our best to him. The hawker stall is called Bang Who Cooks. It is on Neal Road number 39. And are you open pretty much every day? What time do you open? What time do you close? When can people come to see you guys?
For now, every day, Monday to Sunday, 11 to 3. Then we rest 7 to 10, 10:30, somewhere there.
Yeah, good. Jason, thanks a lot for being with us today on Money FM. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you soon.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.